Everybody's lock stock in step, and everybody's conforming to the king saying, you're going to worship me, and I'm the deity now. I'm God. But three guys have the courage to say, no, we're not going to. We're not kiss-ups. We're not stuck-up. We're stand-ups. We're not afraid because God could save us. He's got the power, and he will save us.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Have you ever felt pressured to make choices that don't align with your values? Well, the truth is, we all have. As we continue in this series called Unshakable, which is based on the life of Daniel, you'll discover how to live for God no matter what comes your way. In just a few moments, we're going to tell you about something called the Verses of Hope Box. This beautifully designed and stylish vegan leather box is filled with artfully illustrated scripture cards that will daily restore your sense of hope when life gets the best of you. You can take a sneak peek just by going to PastorRick.com or by texting the word daily to 99000. Right now, here's Pastor Rick with part two of a message called When the Heat is On.
Now, I want to tell you this. When you stand for Christ or you stand for integrity at work or in any place, it's going to make some people mad. You just need to get over that. Don't worry about it. It's not about you. The king isn't used to having people say no to him. One of the reasons why I told you all this background is because there are three kinds of people in the world, and you work with them all the time. There are people who are stuck up, there are people who kiss up, and there are people who stand up. Nebuchadnezzar's stuck up. He thinks he's God. He thinks the world revolves around him. He's stuck up. These other bureaucrats are kiss-ups. They're going, oh, you're so great. You're so wonderful. They're telling him what he wants to hear. But Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego, they're stand-up guys. When everybody else is falling flat on their face and bowing, they're going to stand up. My question is, what kind of person are you in the marketplace? What kind of person are you at school? What kind of person are you in business? Are you stuck up? Are you a kiss up? You're flattering everybody around you? Or are you a stand up kind of person with rock ribbed integrity? And it doesn't really matter if anybody disagrees. I'm just going to do the right thing. Sorry. I'll do it humbly. I'll do it politely. I'll do it without bragging about it. But I'm going to do what is right. Now, why did these guys not bow down? I mean, everybody's doing it. I'm sure they're, hey, everybody's kneeling. They didn't do it. The reason why they wouldn't do it, it was breaking the first two of the Ten Commandments. And they knew that. Let's just review that. This is the first two commandments of the Big Ten, God's top ten. The Ten Commandments. Number one, you shall have no other gods before me. Anything that's first place in your life that isn't God breaks that commandment. Whatever is first place in your life is your God. Your business can be your God. Your spouse could be your God. Your boyfriend can be your God. Making money could be your God. Having fun can be your God. Nothing wrong with these things. They just don't deserve first place in your life. They should be down the list. Anything that's first place in your life that isn't God is an idol. It's a false God. And God says, you will have no other gods for me. Whatever you think about most in life, that's your God. You might say, oh, God's my God. No, whatever you think about most in life is what you love the most. And what you love the most is your God. So the first commandment says, you shall have no other gods before me. Then the second commandment is this, you shall not make for yourself an idol in the form of anything in heaven or above the earth or beneath the waters below. And you shall not bow down to them or worship them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, punishing the children for the sins of the fathers to the third and fourth generation. He said, you know what? We can be impacted by the sins of our parents. If you don't believe that, for instance, right now, America is overspending, is massively $20 million in debt. Who's going to pay for that? The children. That's the sins of the parents being visited on to future generations. We're not going to pay for that debt. It's our mistakes being paid for by future generations. And one of the reasons these guys wouldn't do it is because it's within the Ten Commandments. But the second reason is, it's why they're in Babylon in the first place. God had been warning Israel for years, you guys are worshiping idols. They'd been doing this for generations. You've stopped worshiping the true God. You're worshiping idols. If you don't stop, I'm going to let you be taken off to Babylon. And sure enough, that's what happened. And the nation is destroyed. Jerusalem is sacked. And 25% of the nation is taken hostage to Babylon, which is modern-day Iraq. So the whole reason these guys are in Babylon, originally as prisoners of war, is because their parents had broken this very command. They had loved something more than God. And so God has said, I don't want you to do this. I don't want you to do this. Now, in verse 13, here's the story. When Nebuchadnezzar hears about three of his governors refusing to bow down, he has a fit. Verse 13, Daniel 3. Then Nebuchadnezzar flew into a rage. He had an anger management problem too. And he ordered that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego be brought to him. Now the king asked them, is this true? Okay, is it true that the three of you, I mean, I appointed you as governors, you're high position guys. Three of you refused to serve my God or worship the gold statue I set up? He says, I'll give you one more chance. And he says this, if you bow down and you worship the statue, it's all forgiven, it's all forgotten, all will be well. But, he says, if you refuse, you will be thrown immediately into the blazing furnace. The heat is on. And then, this is a powerful statement. And then, what God will be able to rescue you from my power? See what Nebuchadnezzar is doing? He's actually saying, we're going to have a little God contest. Who's really God? Me or your supposed God? And when I throw you into the fiery furnace, who's going to protect you? Not your God. And we'll see who's really God. I'm God here. Okay? Now, what I want to do this weekend is two things. I want to ask two questions. What should I do when the heat's on? Because you've got pressure in your life. And if you don't, you're going to have it in the next month or the next year or in the days ahead. What do you do? And in this story, there are four things they did right, and you want to do them too when the heat's on in your life. And then I want to come back and look at what happens when I trust God in the fire, when the heat's on. And in this story, God does six things, and you need to know these things. If you're going through hell right now, you feel like the heat is on in your life right now, you picked a good week to come to church, because we're going to look at the four things you need to do and the six things God promises to do if you trust Him.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Please stay with us because there's a lot more of our series, Unshakable, coming right up.
Thanks for joining us today here on Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. As Christians, we know that in order to live for God in the most meaningful way possible, we need His Word deep down in our hearts. Right now, I'd like to tell you about something called the Verses of Hope Scripture Box. This vegan leather box is filled with full-color, artfully illustrated, and inspiring scripture cards, along with graphically designed four-color lined cards for your favorite Bible verses, personal notes, and observations. This resource will daily restore your sense of hope when life gets the best of you, when you're looking for answers to difficult questions, or when you just need to be refreshed in the Lord. The Verses of Hope Scripture Box will help you get on the path to a more Christ-centered life as you fill your mind and heart with His Word. And because this stylishly designed study tool looks so great, you'll also be adding a bit of flair to your office or living space. It's a great way to start a conversation with people around you about God's Word. Limited quantities are available, so act now to get your very own Verses of Hope Scripture Box. Just go to PastorRick.com or call 800-600-5004. That's PastorRick.com or call 800-600-5004. Thanks so much for your support.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Once again, here's Rick.
When you go to work, and the heat is on you there for being a Christian, or for making a moral stand or for doing the right thing or whatever it is, and somebody doesn't agree with you, doesn't like it, don't worry about defending yourself. Just quietly trust God to take care of your attackers. When you're in the fire, God's a whole lot better firefighter than you are. And he's got a whole lot more water than you do. You know, I live back in the canyon, and one of the lakes back there, all week they've been having helicopters coming in and dropping down and picking up the water and going out to put out all the different fires. And that seems to be quite an inefficient way to get water to a fire, but sometimes you just do what you have to do. God, on the other hand, has an unlimited fire hose. He created all the water in the universe, and he's a better firefighter than you. In Daniel 3:16, the first thing they did was this. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied, O Nebuchadnezzar, you know, he had said, I'll give you one last chance. They said, we don't need to defend ourselves in this matter. And by the way, implied here is God doesn't need us to defend him either. He says, we're not going to dignify your last question by answering it. He said, you know, who's going to save you, me or God? So we're not going to answer that question. We're not going to try to defend ourselves. We're not worried about what's going to happen. And so we're not impressed by your threats. Don't worry when people attack you. Number two, remember that God has the power to save me. Doesn't matter what kind of mess you're in, what kind of crisis, what kind of difficulty, what kind of fire you're trying to put out in your life right now. Just remember that God has the power to save me. God is God, which means he can do anything. And in Daniel 3:17, if we are thrown into the blazing furnace. See, they still didn't know if, you know, they were going to get laid off or let off for this. If we're thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we worship is able to save us. That's quite a statement. We know our God is able to, he's got the power to save us. But that's not enough. The third thing is, believe God will save me. When you're in the problem, when you're in a crisis, when you're faced with your whole life falling apart, you not only have to believe that God has the ability to help you, the ability to rescue you, the ability to deliver you and save you, you must believe he will. You must expect that he will save you. Not that he's just able, but that he will save you. And the second part of Daniel 3:17, they said, and he will save us from your power, O king. Now, think about this. These guys, they're in their 30s. In the entire nation, three guys stood up to the king. Everybody else in the nation is bowing down every time the royal band plays. Everybody's lock stock. In step, and everybody's conforming to the king saying, you're going to worship me, and I'm the deity now, I'm God. But three guys have the courage to say, no, we're not going to. We're not kiss-ups, we're not stuck-up, we're stand-ups. And we're not afraid, because God could save us, he's got the power, and he will save us. Now, if you're going through the fire right now, you really need to get in this book. Because there are hundreds of promises in the Bible from God to you. If you don't know those promises, it's a lot like not knowing what's on your insurance policy. You know, when you don't know what's on your insurance policy, you worry. If you know your insurance policy covers that procedure and this thing over here, you go, I'm not going to worry about the insurance to pay for it. If you know what God says he'll do in your life, you won't worry. When you worry, it means you don't know what God has promised you. That's what it means. You don't know what God has promised you. There are 7,000 plus promises in the Bible. Here's just one of the hundreds of promises about deliverance and rescue. Isaiah 43. Some of you need to write this one on a card and put it on your refrigerator. When you go through deep waters and great trouble, I will be with you. This is God's promise to you. When you go through rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. And when you walk through the fires of oppression, you will not be burned up. The flames will not consume you, for I am the Lord your God. I believe God can save me, but I believe God will save me. When you walk through the fire, the flames will not consume you. That's a literal promise of God. Now, based on those three things, I'm not worried. I know what God can do, and I'm expecting him to do it. Number four, I announce my loyalty to God no matter what. If you're having to get ready to go in and have the one-on-one with your boss or do a confrontation somewhere, you say, I'm announcing my loyalty to God no matter what the outcome of this conversation is or this confrontation is. And they said this, God has the ability to save us. We believe he will save us, but, verse 18, even if God doesn't save us, we will never serve your gods or worship the gold statue you set up. That's pretty courageous. They're announcing their loyalty to God no matter what. He can save us. We believe he will save us. But if he doesn't, we're still not going to change. We're not going to back out. Now, I want to pause here for a minute and say that when God works in your life, you got a problem in your life, he always works one of three ways. When God delivers you, there's three ways he can deliver you from a problem. When God saves you, there are three ways he can save you from a crisis. When you need rescuing, there's three different ways he can rescue. You might just write these down. It's not on your own notes. You got to probably make some room on the sidelines. This is one of those outlines that I didn't give you any room. But here are the three different ways on the screen. Number one, when you're in a problem, sometimes God saves us from the crisis. Sometimes God saves us from the crisis. I thought this was on screen. I guess not. He helps us avoid the fire. And this is what I call a divine detour. And God could have done it with these guys. They could have been marked for execution, and the king is convinced, well, let's don't do that. And sometimes when you're in a problem, God will just take you out of it. That's nice. That's always fun. He saves us from the crisis, and he helps us avoid the fiery furnace. Number two, sometimes God saves us through the crisis. Sometimes God saves us through the crisis. And we walk through the fiery furnace. He doesn't take you away from the problem, but he takes you through the problem, and he gives you the strength to handle the problem. And he doesn't remove the problem, but he gives you the strength to handle it. He takes us through the crisis. And then the third way is that sometimes God saves us by the crisis. By the crisis. And what I mean by that is sometimes the problem in your life is not the problem. The problem is what saves you from the real problem. And you have a crisis. Have you ever heard these stories? You've all heard these, where somebody goes into the hospital for a problem in their neck. And when they get there, the pain in their neck wasn't a real problem. The problem was that they discovered they had cancer in their stomach or something even far worse. And sometimes a smaller problem is the warning sign that gets your attention for a bigger problem. And sometimes God even allows a problem because he wants to save you. Let me give you an example of this. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6 and 7, up here on the screen, it may be necessary, and sometimes pain is going to be necessary in your life. It may be necessary for you to be sad for a while because of the many trials you suffer. God doesn't pull you out of every problem you go through. He doesn't. Sometimes it's necessary for you to go through the problem, and sometimes it's necessary for God to save you in the problem because of the many trials you suffer. The purpose of these trials you're going through is to prove that your faith is genuine. Even gold, which can be destroyed, is tested by fire. It's purified by fire. So your faith, which is much more precious than gold, must also be tested so that it may endure. Then you will receive praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed. That's at the end of time when Christ comes back. He said you're going to be rewarded for the fact that your faith proved to be trustworthy. Now, why is that? Why does God allow me to go through pain on this planet? because God is more interested in your character than he is in your comfort. This is not heaven.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. If you'd like a copy of today's message or the whole series, just go to PastorRick.com. And while you're there, go ahead and sign up for Pastor Rick's free daily email devotional, and be sure to check out all the other great resources available to you. One of the most powerful ways you can transform your spiritual life is to memorize Scripture. The Bible says in Proverbs 7:2, "Guard my words as your most precious possession. Write them down, and also keep them deep within your heart." But how can we get God's Word rooted deeply in our hearts in an effective, long-lasting, and transformative way? Well, there's a lot of great ways, and here's Pastor Rick to tell you about one of them right now.
One of the most powerful ways you can transform your spiritual life is to memorize Scripture. You say, "I can't do that." Oh, yes, you can. The Bible says in Proverbs 7, verse 2, "Guard my words as your most precious possession. Write them down and keep them deep within your heart." To keep them deep in your heart, you have to remember them. That's why I've had my team create a beautiful gold scripture box so you can practice memorizing the verses that we give you and some that you can develop on your own. Now, we've started a collection of 40 verses about hope. These are going to encourage you when you feel down and discouraged. It's a collection of spiritual tools that will help you keep God's word in you so you have it when you need it most. You know, when you're tempted, you rarely have a Bible by your side. And when you're witnessing to somebody who doesn't know Christ, or they're under stress, or they need comfort, or they're in a crisis, there's not usually a Bible hanging around. So you need God's word in your mind so you can remember it and you can use it when you need it. Now, I had a graphic artist create Bible verse cards with multiple graphic designs and really cool colors, so you're going to enjoy studying these verses. It's not just words on a blank card, but the colors will actually help you remember these Bible verses. And to help you develop the habit of memorizing Scripture, we've included 64 full-color decorated cards with lines that you can practice writing out your favorite verses. So in addition to the 40 verses of hope, you can write down verses that are meaningful to you, that come to you in your quiet time. And I want to encourage you to use these cards to write down the scriptures that you want to put in your mind and to hide in your heart. And then when you need them, the Holy Spirit can bring them back to mind. Now, the Holy Spirit can't bring up something you haven't put in your heart or in your mind. So store them in this beautiful gold box. It's a real pretty box that will make a great conversation piece. And by the way, this is a skill that you can learn. You say, "I can't memorize anything." Oh, yes, you can. Do you remember a phone number? You remember a recipe? You remember a baseball statistic? You remember the words to a song? You remember whatever's important to you. And memory is a muscle that you can strengthen. In fact, studies have shown that if you learn to memorize Scripture, your brain will actually get stronger and you will remember other things better as well. That's right. So study after study have shown that if you teach a child to memorize Scripture, they'll be a better student at school too, because it strengthens your mind right away. Now, imagine this. If you only memorized one verse a week, that's a good thing, okay? One verse a week. In 1 year, you will have memorized 52 verses from the Word of God, and you'll be so much stronger as a believer. Now, my hope is that this tool will help you learn to love God's Word, listen to God's Word, and live God's Word as you share it with others. Now, while you're working on these verses and some of the verses you want to do, my team's actually working on new sets of Bible verses that will be released throughout the year that you can add to your collection. So I hope you'll get this tool. We're doing it for you.
Limited quantities are available, so act now to get your very own vegan leather Verses of Hope Scripture Box. Just go to PastorRick.com or call 800-600-5004. That's PastorRick.com or call 800-600-5004. Be sure to join us next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Daily Hope Ministries and your generous financial support.